check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Will Tye, and I definitely have a trading problem.
Excellent. Welcome to the club. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 381 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. So drop a DAP in the comments or in the chat if you're with us. I know I have to fix the background. And today we have another newcomer. The summer of newcomers continues. We have Will Tye joining us. Will, how you doing tonight?
Awesome. Just beyond ready to talk trades, to be honest with you.
Hell yeah. Before we get into that, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Will. I started a company called Better Fantasy, which was a DFS platform. Sold it to a company called Fantasy Spin, who I now work for. I manage the product over there. You can find me on Twitter at WillTieFF. That's the easiest way to get at me. Just hit me in the DMs.
I have gotten into Fantasy Spin since I met Will in Chicago about 6 weeks ago. And, you know, gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER, all that, it's wildly addicting. It's very fun to do it. Just so everyone should check it out. It's an awesome app. So before we get into the news, we have a little interview for first-time guests. So how long have you been playing fantasy for, Will?
Gosh, so I'm 31 now. First league was in sixth grade. I vividly remember it. So I can't do the math off the top of my head, but long enough, not long as some others, but long enough for sure.
Seems about close to 20 years.
Yeah, pretty much. We're getting there, man.
And then how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Since 2020. Yep.
That's when I got into it too. Yeah. So in your Dynasty time, what are some of the best trades you've made?
So I was thinking about this. I read the show sheet before. I was thinking about this. I made a lot of trades. I'm going to say the best one I've made, guys, I made this year, actually. And it's subtle. I was at the 102, and my friend Chris had the 103, and my friend Robin had the 104. And Chris, big Chargers fan, wanted O'Marrion Hampton. Myself, big Travis Hunter fan, wanted Travis Hunter. Robin didn't quite care who he had, right? Between Travis Hunter and Tet McMillan. Pardon me, Robin was at the 203, 103. Chris was at the 104. So anyway, we all just kind of talked and worked it out amongst each other. We got in a group chat and you know, said like, hey, Chris wants O'Marrion Hampton. Willie wants Travis Hunter. Robin doesn't care between Travis Hunter and Tet McMillan. So let's figure out a three-way trade where Chris can slide into 102. I can slide back to 103. Robin can slide back to 104. And all in all, we exchanged like third and fourth rounders. So it wasn't anything big, but it was just the fact that we all got on the phone and talked about like what we wanted to do, and it worked out. Everybody got their guys. I would say that's my favorite trade that I've made, to be honest with you, because it kind of captures what I like most about fantasy, which is like talking to your buddies and getting your guys, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot, because it's not all the best trades are like, I got Jamar Chase for 2 second rounders. Like, you know, it's everything's a little different. And,
And three-way trades are fun and rare, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah. And then what are some of the worst trades?
Gosh, I have a lot of those. So I traded the one that comes to mind. What year was it? 2022, I believe. I traded away Saquon for Ramondre Stevenson in a second, I think. A Giants fan. When we talked about this, Rocky. Saquon is just destined to be behind a bad Giants offensive line for the rest of his days, and he's 26 now. Like, he's not getting younger. Let me see if I can get a little draft capital, get a running back I like in Ramondre, and it's worked out how it's worked out. So I would say that that's definitely been my worst one so far.
That is tough. And then what is a guiding principle you have in trading?
Guiding principle I have in trading is kind of like what I alluded to with my best trade. Just like, can I give a couple principles?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so it's like, be open and transparent. Like, don't be afraid to open the kimono with your league mates. You know, tell them who you like, tell them what you want. Try to solve other people's problems, right? So if you know, like, I'm very honest about, hey, my team has too many draft picks this year, and I know this sounds like a brag, it's not. Too many draft picks, they're all in the third round. Too many draft picks this year, and I have a bunch of fringe guys like Amari Cooper, who I don't want to drop, right? But I, you know, so I tell my league mates, like, hey, guys, like, I have this problem where I have too many draft picks, too many guys, like, help me trade into next year. You know, what do you need for your team? Like, that's what I love about Dynasty, really, is, like, you can find a lot of opportunities for win-win trades. And so I think that's probably my guiding principle, is like, just be honest, be transparent, and try to solve other people's problems.
Sounds like that should be the TA moniker right there, because everyone talks about what we need and how to get it. So That's great. All right, let's get into the news. There was actually a lot.
Yeah.
Rocky would probably say half of it doesn't matter, but we're getting to point scoring season now. We're nine days away from scoring points and Setting lineups. And Rocky setting 45 starting lineups, or however many crazy ones he has.
Some of these guys aren't going to score many points anyway. But
I know. but someone who is going to score a lot of points, because he's back, is Washington, and Terry McLaurin finally agreed to a deal. 3 years, $96 million. I didn't ever see guaranteed money. Did anyone? I didn't see how much.
No, I was wondering the same thing. I never saw it.
So let's assume 60, just, you know, a couple years, 2 years guaranteed. Well, what do you think of all this now that McLaurin's kind of settled in? Is he back to being kind of a wide receiver too? Where is he for you?
Yeah, I think the key thing, like, signing this late in the, you know, training camp's over now, right? So it's like, you got to project Terry to get off to a sluggish start, you know, just cause he hasn't had that ramp up period. But like, once he gets going, once everything's back to normal, you got to project Terry as at least a wide receiver too. Prolific offense. I don't know. I don't want to say like great player, like not like a Jamar Chase type talent, but like a very, very good player.
Yes, for sure.
Somebody who can take advantage of being in a good offense, and somebody that a good offense would build their passing game around, you know? So like, yeah, I don't see a reason why Terry won't be back to normal. It might take a few weeks, you know, it might take a month.
Rocky?
I mean, it doesn't really change that much for me. I just always assume these guys are going to sign before the season starts. And generally they do. But I do like him a lot this year. Jaden Daniels progressing, hopefully. I mean, not that he was bad last year, but just another year together. He was a little touchdown dependent last year. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, there's some regression coming, I think, a little bit, just because of what else they have and Debo being there now. But the one thing counteracting the slow start is he plays the Giants week one, and I'm pretty sure the stat is like he's never gotten below 80 yards receiving in his career. So maybe he starts off hot and then slows down, but I agree. I think nothing has changed. Something that has changed, though, is Jacoby Myers requested a trade and Amari Cooper signed with the Raiders. So, Rocky, I think you have been a Jacoby Myers guy just kind of for what he costs. What do you think kind of – do you think he stays with Las Vegas? And then we'll go to Will after that.
I do. I think generally when guys ask for trades, they don't usually happen. And to me, the Amari Cooper thing doesn't mean much either. I mean, if I don't – I think he's pretty – washed at this point, and I don't expect him to make much of an impact there, especially with the not great quarterbacking anyway. Mm. So Yeah, I mean, I still kind of expect I don't think they're going to like sit him or anything. So I think he'll probably play and he'll probably be what he is. And we'll see what that is there now with the Geno a quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere. If anything, I guess maybe there's a chance at the deadline or something. I don't think it's happening like next week.
Yeah.
So I think he's playing at least, what is it, 7-8 weeks they go in?
Something like that. Yeah, deadline. I think.
Yeah. So I think he'll be there for at least the first half of the year, most likely the whole year. And I think he'll still probably be there, be their wide receiver one, but he might be the third option in the offense. So I don't know how valuable that is anyway with the Raiders offense. It's not looking too good.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about all this, the receiving core in Vegas and kind of what wide receiver could maybe step into this?
Well, Jack Besh for sure could step into it if he's given the opportunity, just because I think he's good enough to do that. Not taking anything away from Jacoby Myers, because I think Jacoby Myers is also just a very solid player. So I don't expect the Raiders to trade him just because of that. Like, veteran, proven guy, you know, good player. Like, Jacoby Myers is a good football player, good wide receiver. And you got a head coach like Pete Carroll who's not getting any younger, right?
Right.
They're trying to make the playoffs. They're trying to make a push. And so it doesn't make sense to get rid of a guy like Jacoby Myers, but it'll just come down to how much money the owner wants to pay him at the end of the day.
I agree with all that. I think Dante Thornton has got a lot of love in camp, it sounds like. So maybe they're comfortable with Besh and Thornton, but I agree with both of you that it's weird timing, though, I'm going to say. He didn't request a trade 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He requested it now, and apparently it's contract-related. So I don't know why he decided to do it now, but we'll see. I think, you know, I don't think anything's changed from what Rocky and I said. It's Bowers and Genty, and everything else is kind of in a pile, and you can pick what you want. So, all right. Mixon's going to miss the first four games. And starting on the NFI list. Will, are we putting Mixon in the grave now officially? And who's your favorite running back for the first 4 weeks?
Chubb season.
Chubb season.
I'm with that.
Everyone get a Chubb.
Yep. Woo! I'm there. So is Mixon in the grave? No. Am I very worried? Yes. It's a lot like when I was, I think, in like second grade and my goldfish had died and my mom said that he didn't die. I'm like trying to tell myself that Joe Mixon will be fine because I love Joe Mixon as a football player.
Or to the toilet in the sky.
Yeah. No, Sammy will be fine, Willie. Don't worry.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, I'm just seeing a lot of buzz around like, oh, yeah, this is like people were saying he got like the tightrope surgery, I think, in the offseason.
He had because that was from his ankle sprain last year or when he had the pip drop tackle in the Bears game. And then, yeah, he got something like that.
Yeah. And that's like a very serious surgery, you know. So even if he does come back like in week five, I know the Texans have a week six bye. My friend Colby Conway from Fantasy Alarm was illuminating me to this. Texans have a week six bye.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense for them to bring him back in week
probably
five.
Not.
So probably one of those situations where the earliest you can expect him is week seven. And then at that point, like, what are you, you know, what's he going to do on offense? So much of it will come down, right, boys, to the offensive line for the Texans, right? Like, if they can cobble something together and be good on offense again and Joe Mixon is healthy again, like in week 10, then he could be winning people fantasy championships, right?
Yeah.
But am I expecting it? No. The tightrope surgery is really worrisome.
Yes.
And so I would say he's not totally in the grave yet. I'm definitely worried. And the running back I own plenty of shares of is Nick Chubb. I think in this world where the Texans offensive line is better than anticipated, the Texans offense is better than anticipated, I think Nick Chubb has enough to take advantage of being the main running back in a competent offense. Mm-hmm. I think he's got the vision to set up blocks and take advantage of, you know, open lanes when they are. He's smart. He's savvy. This guy's an alien, but like he probably doesn't have the same long speed that he used to have, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe the big play threat isn't there. You know, we never anticipate the receiving work to come Nick Chubb's way. So maybe like the ceiling's a little capped there from that regard. But I mean, if It's a free pick at the end of your drafts. Like, I'm taking Chubb everywhere right now.
Yep. It feels like Woody Marks is kind of going to be the passing guy, I would guess, mm-hmm. for at least a couple of games while they get Chubb warmed up. But, Rocky, anything to add?
No, you guys basically said it. I feel like some people are going to get all excited about Woody Marks now because he was a bit of a fourth round, like, take this guy in the fourth round kind of guy when rookie mm-hmm. drafts were going on. But yeah, I'm not super excited, you know, for Nick Chubb either, because he is very old and has very bad legs, and at this point, too many surgeries. But I do agree. I think he'll be the lead guy unless he's just completely he's done. I think he'll be fine, but I don't think it'll be anything special. But like Will said, it's a good offense. He'll almost certainly be the guy at the goal line. I definitely think like he said, he's worth, if you have him, this is good news. Like you're at least getting a month out of him. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be going out trying to acquire him in Dynasty, but I'm happy for the Chubb shares that I have that he's going to get a little bit of an opportunity here. And it's probably going to make it, if he is not done, if he's able to recover from yet another leg injury, a little more time removed since it happened, it's probably really bad for this entire backfield, because then maybe Mixon and Chubb are splitting time more than we even thought, and it could be just a whole mess.
Chubb would probably be the goal line back in that scenario too.
Yeah.
And Mixon could be the in-between the 20s guy. Yeah, that would get really gross really fast. Rocky, if you're a contender, are you giving a third for Mixon?
I would give a third. He looked good last year. It's not, they don't love, again, seeing 29-year-old running backs.
Because it could be lighting a pick on fire, basically.
It could be. But he looked really good last year, and we just said all the possible negatives about how this could play out. I would not do that right now, even though it's only a third. I think I'd rather wait. I'm not even sure, like say Chubb does start well. Is Mixon worth more than a third in a month?
No, probably not.
Yeah. So I think I would hold, even though it's just a third. I think I'd rather just keep that and use it as a piece to throw in a bigger deal or something later, rather than take the risk on a running back who we already know is hurt. And that's the biggest thing we worry about running backs all the time anyway. So,
yeah. I did a dynasty startup last night with a couple of friends, and I took Mixon in the 14th round, and I'm just like, he fell too far, and it's a risk, but that at this value, like, I'll see what happens and I can trade him later if he does something. So,
mm-hmm. Would you give the third, Frank, right now?
I'd have to be like a running back away, and like, I'd have to feel like he's a healthy Mixon is like the difference. But yeah, I'm probably with you. I'm probably holding.
Would you take the third in your startup that you did last night?
I don't think I would take the third either. That's the problem.
I think I agree.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone's stuck. Well, would you trade the third for
Mixon? I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, if you're maybe you're the Nick Chubb owner in this league.
That's fair. Yeah.
Joe Mixon away. So maybe the Nick Chubb owner is interested in acquiring Joe Mixon. And a third might make sense.
Because the Woody Marks owner probably isn't interested in Mixon because he's probably young if he's Marks. Yeah. So, all right. We talked about Tyjae Spears. We don't have to talk about this much, but he's on IR, missing four games. He was in a walking boot. It sounds like it's going to be Pollard's backfield. I don't think there's much to say, but I think it was worth mentioning. And then Brian Robinson was finally traded. This feels like it was 3 years ago. It was like on Wednesday.
I know. It does feel like it was so long ago.
Shanahan said he will be the RB2. So, Bat, let's try this again. Rocky, would you pay a third for Brian Robinson in the Mason role?
No. I'm not even sure, like, with McCaffrey, exactly what the Niners are going to be, because they're so banged up, and their receivers.
Berendo's back, apparently.
A bunch of question marks, mostly, and Juwan Jennings, who is what Juwan Jennings is, and I just don't know that I want if I don't know whether I want the running back in that offense if it's not Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
So I don't think I would pay the third there either. Brian Robinson's fine, but he's nothing special.
Yep.
And I don't know that that offense is going to be as good as it's been in the past with no Ayuk, no Debo.
Yeah,
Kittle potentially getting triple team. Oh, so yeah,
Rocky's going to get to be a Purdy hater again. Will, what about you? What are you doing? Are you trading a third for Brian Robinson? And if so, why?
I think again, if I'm the McCaffrey owner, then I think it makes sense maybe just for the handcuff purpose, especially this year. Like, let's say something happens to McCaffrey in a year and Brian Robinson steps into the role. Like, that could be. I think Brian Robinson's okay. I was really surprised that the Commanders basically got rid of him for nothing. It's just an indication of how much they like JCM, I guess. But I think Brian Robinson's okay. So if you're the Christian McCaffrey owner, I think I would give up the third. I don't really like third round picks, so I'm a little bit more liberal with them.
Go ahead. I was going to say I can go pretty liberal with him too, but I think he's exactly what you said. He's okay, and I just worry what that offense is going to be without Christian McCaffrey in it. Like, an okay running back in a subpar offense. I don't know that I want to buy.
Yeah. I think again, it'll come down to if you're the McCaffrey owner. I think that's the only scenario it makes sense in.
Yeah,
I think I would only for this reason. One, I was smiling and laughing during what was talking because you're saying if you're the McCaffrey owner, you own Jordan James and Grendo and Patrick. You own all these backs already. So you have to add another one to your bench, which is unfortunate. But Jordan Mason was very good last year. And I think to both your points, Brian Robinson's okay. I don't think Mason is like tremendously better than Brian. He's probably better, but I don't think he's that much better. And
yeah, my thing is just that I think the 49ers were better.
That's fine. I agree with that. But I think I wonder how much work they're going to give McCaffrey up front. I'm wondering if this is to give the ball to Brian Robinson 15 times a game so they don't have to give it to McCaffrey 20 times a game and let Robinson take the beating for a little while.
I can see that. I think Brian Robinson's okay.
Right.
So it probably behooves the 49ers to reduce the load of McCaffrey's.
Yeah, let Robinson take a beating for a month, and then you have all your running backs healthy again. So I don't know what they're going to do. I would trade for him just because if you told me Robinson fell into the end zone 3 weeks in a row, I'd believe you, just because he's that kind of back. So we'll see. It's an interesting situation. I think everyone is hoping and praying McCaffrey's coming back healthy, but I don't think anyone actually knows. So I think that's scary. All right, happy news now. Godwin's coming off the PUP, and he was officially activated like an hour ago.
Yeah.
But he will not play until October, it sounds like. But they don't want him out the six games that the PUP would include. So that's good. It sounds like Godwin is coming back. And he's going to be fairly healthy by week four. So, Will, does this change the math on Godwin? Does it stop Abuka's meteoric rise to like the second round in redrafts at this point? Like, it's so annoying how high he's going now. But does it stop Abuka's meteoric rise? What are you doing with all of this with Godwin?
Does it stop Abuka's rise? Yes, it has to, because how much further could it have gone regardless? Like, to your point,
first round, baby.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this has to throw some cool water on the Abuka flames. I think that this probably shouldn't be a surprise to us because of the amount of money that the Buccaneers gave Godwin in the offseason. I think they had a pretty good diagnosis of his recovery. I don't know if diagnosis is the right word there, but like, I think they had a pretty good idea of how he would recover. And so they felt comfortable giving him all that guaranteed money. And so it's not changing Godwin for me. I think it should change the market for Abuka for sure. It should change the market for Baker too, I think.
To what? Up or down?
Well, I don't like where Baker's going right now as it is. But like theoretically, this is good news for Baker, so it should go up. Yes. Like he's getting his main target from last year when he was healthy back. So it should inflate the price of Baker a little bit. Not saying I would be a buyer at that price still, but it should do that.
Before Rocky goes, we've had a fun debate kind of all non-point scoring season. Baker or Dak?
That's a tough one. They're pretty much neck and neck. So like at cost, I'm drafting Dak every time.
Yeah. Is they've been holding, they're holding hands in the same tier. Like
yeah.
Next to each other.
So. Right. Yeah. To make a pick, I'll say Baker.
Yeah. But it's close. Yeah, I agree. Rocky, anything to add on the Bucks?
Not really. I mean, obviously this is good news. I feel like it's been kind of generally positive for Godwin for a little while now. Just from the reports coming out.
The pup thing was scary because it meant he was out for basically the year last year, and then they put him on pup, which means he wasn't totally healthy. So it's good that you're right. It's good that they're bringing him back now. But
yeah, and I'm not expecting a ton out of Egbuka this year. I feel like it's going to be a lot of the. It sounds like he, like you said, if he's good to go, like they're not putting him on pup and he's good to go by October. I think it's going to be a lot of what we've seen the last year or two with Godwin and Evans. And I like Baker a lot. I would go Baker over Dak too.
Yeah. I actually, for as much of a Dak fan as I am in this, I would probably do Baker over Dak too. But my argument for Dak is Dak somehow is like ranked 15 spots lower or something like that than Baker. I never understood that.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'll burn through the rest of these kind of quickly and we can discuss them all as one big clump. Saints named Rattler starter. Gross. Should have been Chuck. Devon Vale.
Maybe they didn't want to subject him to that.
It's just, he played so much better in the preseason though. I didn't understand the Rattler call. Devon Vale to the Saints. That's not uninteresting. Sky Moore to the 49ers. Who knows? Najee's activated, should be ready to go. Jaden Blue, low ankle sprain, should be ready to go. And then the good one, the happy one for especially people like Rocky, who's a big Achan guy. Achan has no setbacks. Sounds like he's good for week one. Jalen Wright's expected to miss week one. And holy crap, Ollie Gordon. Like, just he's going to cause some headaches for Achan owners who don't own him. Like, because he looked really good this preseason. So, Will, when I run through all of that, any major takeaways? Bailey on the Saints fan.
Major takeaways I would dedicate to Najee being activated and
yes.
being ready for week one.
Yes.
Like all of these have some nuggets. Like the Ollie Gordon stuff is fun. Good to see Jaden Blue's going to be okay. Bailey to the Saints is interesting. Sky Moore to the 49ers. Like who else do they have at receiver? You know, I hate to be the guy that makes.
Would that not be the craziest thing? Is just the Niners and goes crazy.
I would not be shocked. I mean, I would be shocked, but like, I would not be shocked. But yeah, no, Najee. Like, this is definitely a thorn in the side of all the people who have been like just excruciatingly high on Omarion Hampton.
Yep.
I'm not the Omarion Hampton guy, as I alluded to at the top of our show here. Najee's a capable. Back like he's a veteran now. He's handled big workloads. If the ocular issue is no longer something that's going to cause problems, then like why would the Chargers give Omarion Hampton like over 60% of the work right away? Like they're probably going to want to ease him in. I mean, he's on his rookie contract. They're not going to run him into the ground the first 6 weeks of the year, assuming Najee's like just totally fine, right? And this seems like kind of an indication of that. So I read it as kind of tough for Omarion Hampton fans, but very exciting for Najee holders who have had the diamond hands throughout all this and people who have bought low on Najee as well. I think it's a really good sign for Najee.
Yep.
I am an Omarion Hampton guy, and I don't know why this is the example. Like, I guess because it's like one of the first times I got scared of the bet running back, but like, it reminds me, I feel like it's going to be like a Nick Chubb, Carlos Hyde situation, if you remember that back in the day.
Totally, yeah.
I was totally scared of Nick Chubb because Carlos Hyde was there. Yeah. And I feel like eventually he's just going to tell you, by the end of the second half of that year, just Nick Chubb was just commanding that back.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be the same thing. But like I said, I'm also a big Hampton stan, so... but yeah, I mean, I think Najee's definitely going to have work early. I think it could be like a 50-50 split at the beginning, but I think eventually Hampton, yeah, you shouldn't be expecting Hampton to like bust out right away. But I think by second half of the season, he's going to be a really good player for you. The rest of the stuff I don't really care much about other than Achane. I was happy to, I was definitely worried he was going to miss a week or two, just
especially when it was first
came out. Yeah. that's the most notable bit of news of the last stuff you mentioned there.
Yeah.
And like I said, I almost think they might have just like not wanted, they know their team is horrible and the Saints. Going back to the Rattler thing, I almost feel if you're starting Spencer Rattler, it's because you just want to lose and you don't want to subject Tyler Shuck to that. And, which you probably have to start him at some point, because if you're going to be that bad, you're going to have the number one pick. You potentially have the number one pick next year, and you're going to see if he's worth something, or if you know you're probably going to draft a quarterback. But so maybe eventually, it's not like he was some stud coming out either. So I can see like starting the crappy Spencer Rattler for half the season, and then like giving Shuck some time to watch from the sidelines, even if he's watching bad quarterbacking. But just giving him some time, more time to like, you know, prepare and study and see actual live game action and all that stuff, and then finally put him in at some point.
What round was Shuck?
Second round, it was early. Yeah, early. Yeah.
Wow.
Early too.
So yeah, I think he's going to get in there.
See, that's shocking. Why wouldn't you start him then?
Right.
Like
developmental 25-year-old.
That's insane to me. I just, we know what Rattler
because
is.
Because the team's a shit show.
I know, but like, it's still
at least maybe I think maybe they give the team some time to figure out what the hell they are and if anybody's good at all, and like maybe then they put Tyler Shuck in when they think they have like maybe a couple receivers that can do something, and maybe Vele is amazing or something. I don't know, because they probably don't even know what they have right now. So new coach and everything too. So
yeah,
that could be another reason, just learning the offense more.
Yeah, it could be. I'm just so tired of Rattler. I've listened to people believe in Rattler for 10 years, and I'm tired. all right, minor stuff. Rocky got a new backup quarterback. Wentz went to the Eagles. It was Sam Howell. Howell to the Eagles. Wentz to the Vikings. Pickett was traded to the Raiders, and Dylan Gabriel will back up Flacco in Cleveland. The Vikings are looking at trading for Thielen. That's been a rumor for like 2 weeks now, and there hasn't really been anything around it, so who knows. This one was weird. Dable did not commit to Dart being QB2. Did that surprise anyone else? Because I thought Dart had a pretty good preseason. No?
Okay. And yeah, I mean, Russ and Jameis are both still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't trade Jameis away. Like, the Raiders needed a QB. The Saints still need a QB. I just don't know why they kept him.
The vibes.
Yeah, right.
Literally.
Yeah. And then Jalen Polk had season-ending shoulder surgery today. Just an awful 2 years start for him. But I don't think there's anything to really take away from this. I just kind of got through it. So Dynastud had a question, so I put this on here. He said, what's the most under-the-radar cut-down day action that you think is actionable for Dynasty? Anyone have any cuts, takeaways today? I didn't see too many that were relatively important. But Will, anything you saw?
Yeah, I've got one actually. So I think the Browns cutting Deontay Johnson is actually a signal for Harold Fannin, more so than like it's good for Isaiah Bond, I guess. It's good for like Cedric.
That was Schulman. The name that blew up Twitter today. Is Isaiah Bond's going to be the next thing? And it's like,
yeah, maybe. They gave him a lot of money, and like was a good prospect, and just obviously had the off the field stuff, but. If that's cleared, are you excited about Joe Flacco being the quarterback? That's for an individual to answer, not me. but like, I think it's interesting for Harold Fannin. Like, if they were projecting Deontay to be that slot guy, and now Fannin steps into that role, like we could be looking at a sleeper in dynasty drafts right now and startup as well. But like, I think it's a signal for Fannin.
I like that. I was trying to go through. I didn't see too many. I thought, you know, the way I would kind of look at cut down day is what Will just said, right? If there was someone who was kind of a veteran standing in the way of younger players, like here's another one. The Steelers cut Robert Woods today, which, you know, I know it's Robert Woods, but that Roman Wilson has looked pretty good in the preseason. And, you know, if they cut Woods, it means they are comfortable having Roman Wilson as their second outside wide receiver, or they're just going to have four tight ends. Who knows? But that's how I would look at it, is like my takeaway from cutdowns is if there was a veteran kind of standing in the way of a young player doing well, that's something important. And I actually think we got that from the Vele thing last week. People were kind of there was literal arguments about like Troy Franklin versus Pat Bryant and who's going to take that spot. And I know that's a really funny thing to argue about because they're both like third round dynasty picks, but rookie picks, but it, like that's the takeaway, I think. Rocky, do you have anything to add on cut downs?
No, I don't really think there's anything that I saw in particular. I will mention, I was just going to mention on some of the minor stuff. I do think the Howell to the Eagles thing is interesting. I don't know if he holds on to the backup job. Tanner McKee is hurt, which is part of the reason they traded for him. But, this, you know, I was never a big Howell guy. But, I mean, his two biggest problems is turning it over and that he takes too many sacks. And I don't know that he would take too many sacks. Again, behind that offensive line. And I believe at one point for Washington, when he started, he was like leading the league in passing yards.
He was, yeah.
So he could be very interesting if Jalen Hurts. I mean, obviously he's not going to start. And I'm not saying go get Sam Howell now, but it's just, that's just kind of intriguing from a fantasy perspective than a real life perspective.
Yeah.
Just if he had to ever start for the Eagles, like Jalen Hurts is out a month. I would really like Sam Howell in that offense. Yeah.
I think, and I don't know how real the smoke is, Rocky's obviously closer to it, but there's also been some smoke around the Eagles trading McKee because people kind of like what he did in the couple of games he started last year. So this could be. Yeah.
It's funny though, around here, like there's a lot of talk about it on like sports talk radio, and people are saying they like wouldn't trade Tanner McKee for a first. Because they need him for the Super Bowl run if Jalen Hurts gets hurt. I'm like, you people are insane. If someone's dumb enough to give you a first round pick for Tanner McKee, I'm taking that all day, every day, whether I'm on a, you know, trying to go for the Super Bowl or not. So
it's the same group of people that says Tyson Bagent should start over Caleb Williams on the Bears.
Yeah.
That's also real talk that happens. All right. Well, we usually let the guest pick the next part. Would you like to do trade axe trades or listener questions?
Wow. Listener questions.
Okay. They're all dynasted this week. So his first one, as a contender who recently bought McLaurin low in a startup auction, but is worried about his seemingly unsustainable touchdown rate, what would you do with him? If sell, who are you targeting in a trade? We have many other assets to package up if that helps. So Will, what would you, if you're selling McLaurin, what are you selling him
for? That's a great question. If I'm selling McLaurin, what am I selling him for? I would like picks, and I would like two first rounders for Terry McLaurin. Wow. It's a big price. I know. I like
that, but
yeah. Respect the hustle. Yeah. Like, I mean, if I'm selling McLaurin, I mean, if you have to sell McLaurin, then you get whatever the most is you can get for him, and like don't take anything below a first rounder, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
So I'm asking for two firsts. Like this is a bona fide asset that you can count on for a couple of builds. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for picks, and I'm asking for a lot of them for Terry.
I like it. Rocky, what are you asking for?
I mean, I'm kind of with Will here. Like, I feel like if I'm not rebuilding, I'm not probably selling Terry McLaurin personally.
Agreed. Yes.
Because I was just looking at the ADP, even trying to tier up. I don't know who I love. Like, if I'm adding a first to Terry McLaurin, I'm not sure. I'm moving up high enough that it's worth it to me. Like points wise, I mean, you'll get some more youth back, most likely. If you, but like,
would you trade it for Garrett Wilson?
And that's what I was. That was the one of the names I was looking at, and I was like, yeah. You know me. I've not been.
Like, I know you don't like
Garrett
the Jets.
Wilson on the Jets. Just yeah. scares me. Well, would you? I know he's a great player, but
I think I would. If I'm like this, you know, if I'm a team who's trying to rebuild and get younger, like I think Wilson is a good asset in exchange for McLaurin. Just I think Terry's like sneaky old right now. I think
he's like 29, I think 28.
Yeah. So Garrett Wilson, 24, maybe
23.
25.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have the ages on the ADP. I have the ADP list up.
And wow.
Terry's 29. Garrett Wilson's 25. I don't have a birthday, but 25.
Time is flying. Yes. He must be a young 25. Yeah, like I think presumably you get 4 more years out of Garrett Wilson than Terry McLaurin as of right now. Garrett Wilson's a great player, like similar talent level as Terry, you know, maybe if not better. And so if he can get on a good offense in 4 years, then like he should be on that same level of production as we expect Terry to be right now. And so like you're basically baking in the fact that like, okay, I have to get Garrett Wilson to, you know, low end wide receiver 1 production in 4 years to make it worth it. And if I get anything on top of that, it's gravy. Like I think he's probably going to get back to wide receiver 1 production within 4 years. So I would, if you're looking to rebuild and like you're looking to move Terry and somebody offers you Garrett Wilson, I would take that.
For the record, because you made me curious, he turned 25 last month.
Yeah. Okay. He's young 25. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he's a contender. So I'm sitting here trying to think like what gets you to, who's the oldest good guy? AJ Brown. What's the difference?
That's the other name I was looking at. I was like, do I want to give up Terry in a first?
Terry and does Brown? A first get it done though? Do you need more than a first?
Do you want to give up a first though? To he's better, yes. Do I want to give up a first for a guy who's like
AJ's better, I think but the same
almost
age.
The same age? Yeah, he's slightly younger. Yeah.
Like, and how many years does AJ have left, Rocky? How many years in this contract? I think 2.
You're asking
right?
me like I know that off the top of my head. Right. I 2 sounds right, but yeah, I'm not positive.
Will, would you trade McLaurin in a first for AJ?
No.
Wow. You were saying you get all the AJ shares before, so why not? This is interesting.
I really like Terry. I think that's adding the first is too much.
That's where I was leaning though too. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love AJ Brown. He's like a wide receiver, legit wide receiver 1, you know. Yeah. I think the Eagles will pass more this year just because regression, and AJ Brown's going to be the main benefactor of that. Like AJ Brown's a stud. But like Terry's also really, really good. And I think a first is just too much.
Yeah. He's got 2 years left before an out.
That's what I was just going to say. I looked it up, and he's signed through 29, but I don't know what the actual year.
The out is in 2 years for $14 million dead cap. Okay. Just trying to think if there's any more I would jump up to. I think they're all too young after that. Top guys. Brian Thomas, no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amon-Ra.
Can you go up to Higgins without giving up a first? Would you consider up to would you consider that worth going up to Higgins? Like, was that an up, or is that more parallel to you guys?
I think Higgins scares.
He's younger.
He is younger, but he scares the crap out of me because he doesn't stay healthy.
I wouldn't put up a huge fuss if somebody said they'd rather have Terry than Higgins.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't know if it was enough. I definitely not hanging for. I was just wondering, like, would you do Terry and like a second and a small piece or something for T. Higgins?
Probably not.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't either.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They're too close. Like,
I need Higgins to stay healthy.
Other than the age, they're too close to me.
Yeah.
And like you said, T does get banged up a lot.
So, what about... No, it's too high. I don't know. Well, we could do this all day.
I know.
But there's your answer.
Go. I've got up. All night. I just drank 5 milligrams of creatine. I'm ready to go.
All right. second question. He said, divested one Judkins share for a future first. Wow, congrats. In the wake of the charges dropped news, but still holding one share and one QB start nine, no tight end premium. What are you doing with him if he was supposed to be your RB3 behind Aaron Jones? Yuck. Will, what are you doing with that?
Seeing if I can sell the team to another owner. No. What am I doing with Judkins? I mean, if Judkins had signed, if this thing had never come up and if he had a full training camp and if he was going to play week one, he's a premier asset for sure. I'm a big believer in Judkins as a prospect and a big believer in the fact that I think the Browns want to get back to this ground and pound running game that they had their first couple of years with Stefanski. But that's not the world we're currently living in. Right now, Quinshon Judkins still doesn't have a contract. And that is very concerning. That's very concerning.
Yeah.
Man, it's tough. Maybe somebody wants to give you another player for him. That's the only thing I can think of that I would do it for. Otherwise, I think you have to hold because what's the worst case scenario? I guess let's play that out. What's the worst case scenario with Quinshon Judkins? He goes back to college, right? That's not happening. So yeah.
Probably can't because he's technically drafted.
I saw Mike Florio posted about this. Technically he can, but again, what are you going to do? Go back to Ohio State and
go win another title there.
Yeah. But there's no training camp. It's just, I don't see that working out, especially in a shortened season.
Yes.
So what am I doing if I'm the Quinshon Judkins owner? I'm probably holding. If somebody wants to give me a first, I'll take it. If somebody wants to give me 2 seconds, I'll definitely consider it. That's probably where I'm at with it.
Before Rocky answers, I wanted to, this was going to be in the news, but it was too kind of up in the air and vague. Kevin Stefanski was asked about the Browns running back depth chart, which currently only has Ford and Sampson on it. And his answer was there will be more than two running backs on this team. Before week one. So whatever that could mean, Judkins is coming. That could mean they're signing, I don't know, insert veteran guy here. But I thought that was notable. Just talking about Judkins, it means there's probably conversations happening. Rocky,
he sounds pretty confident. Sorry to interrupt, but he says we will have another running back before week one. Obviously, he could be talking about somebody other than Judkins, but if he's talking about Judkins, he knows something.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to agree that for me, he's basically a hold. It is Dynasty. I think he will get signed. I think I was not as big a Judkins guy as our boy Zach Reed was. But I still think he eventually, if he gets signed, obviously is probably the best running back in their backfield. If he's worried about that he was his RB3 in that situation, I'm probably sending a second for James Conner or something.
Yes.
And not using
trade. Send a third for Nick Chubb.
Or that. Yeah. I'm not trading Quinshon Judkins to replace Quinshon Judkins is basically what I'm not
That's a good way of putting it. I agree with all that. I don't have a lot to add. I agree with Rocky. Go trade something small. And then if you still don't like Judkins, you can trade him then. But Rocky's right.
Yeah, and if you sell him now, you're selling him at an all-time low.
That he's agreed. Unless you get a first somehow, which he did already.
I mean, if you can get a first, I would do that in a second. But I don't think most people are giving you that.
No. Frank, real quick, I got some listener questions that have popped in. Is it cool if I ask a couple?
Yeah.
So these are from Cam Pernod, who's one of my league mates in my dynasty league. He's got two of them.
Okay.
First one, what's the one change? It's not dynasty related, so if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine.
This is a Rocky question, I can already tell you.
What's the one change your league has made in recent years that you can't believe you ever lived without?
Oh, man. This is a good Rocky question because he has weird formats. We dropped team defense this year, and I'm so excited in my home league. Finally, we were playing a dynasty league with defenses. So I'm so excited to be done with that. But in terms of actual leagues, not just my friends, I don't have any weird changes. I kind of just adopt things, so I don't ever start anything.
And that's what I was going to say, is I don't know that I made, like, my home redraft league recently went to Superflex, but I wasn't really going without it because I'd been playing Superflex for like 6 years before that.
Yes.
Because I'd been playing Dynasty. So, and basically from when I started, a lot of the leagues were already, at least what that I was getting into, were already Superflex.
Yeah.
And in terms of like my Dynasty leagues, and like Frank said, I've basically started a lot of leagues with different things that's, and they haven't changed. So it's like I have a league where we start off flexes. I have a league where it's a contract league, and none of those things are changes though. They're just leagues I just had to start to make things more fun for me. I do really like a contract league. Like I said, it's not a change. I'm not sure it's really answering his question, but if you haven't done it, it's a lot of fun. And it just changes the whole aspect of trading.
So many freaking arguments though. Oh my God.
It changes trading so much just because you have to factor in years and money and all that stuff. And it makes it a lot more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Second question. When to sell DK and for how much?
I'm not selling DK at all. I think he's about to be, you know, wide receiver two with one upside. Honestly, in redraft, not in Dynasty, obviously, but like, I think he's going to be a startable wide receiver too, and you're going to be pretty happy about it. But if I had to sell him, at least a first, but I don't think I'm getting that because if all I own, like, the DK lovers all own DK right now. There isn't a guy who like loves DK is trying to get him. Like I did. Oh man, I gotta go back and look at this trade. This was 6 months ago, but it was in TA. I traded Brian Thomas and Trey McBride for Amon-Ra and DK, I think, or something like that, and then a couple other little things. But like, I'm pretty psyched about that trade right about now. Just like, you know, I think DK is going to be a great player. I think he's going to be the guy that Rodgers just like stares at and then sideline balls. So, but yeah, at least a first plus probably.
I think you probably should get a first plus. I don't think he's going to be as great as Frank thinks he is. Just because I am a little worried about Rodgers and Pittsburgh's another offense I'm not super confident in. So I agree that he will probably be hyper-targeted by Rodgers. I'm just worried about the quality of the targets coming from 40-something Aaron Rodgers at this point. So so I think he'll be a fine wide receiver too. I don't think I would pay more than a first. I think if I had him, I'd want more than a first.
Right. So I think you're stuck with him regardless. Well, what would you do?
That's a great question. So I'll take Cam's situation. He has a ton of wide receivers. Like, he has Jamar, he has Puka, he has AJ Brown. He's good to go. We're not crying for Cam's wide receiver situation. Yeah, seriously. So, I think Rocky nailed it. Like, it's a first plus is what I would be asking for, but in a world where I have a ton of wide receivers and somebody wants to give me a first, like would you do it for Emeka Buka? You know, would you do it for Matthew Golden? I think that's probably the range you're looking at if you want to trade him for like a pick in this year's draft.
I think a Buka is actually a good one because you can afford to be patient with him with that wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't need him to do anything. I was just trying to think of a running back you could switch.
I'd almost rather have a pick, though.
That's fine.
It's more fluid. Like,
yeah, yeah,
I agree. You have to have someone who likes Emeka Buka to trade Emeka Buka.
Yeah. Like DK or RJ Harvey. We'll get to RJ Harvey in a second.
Oh, DK easily for me.
Okay, so I got to go up. I'm doing this off the top of my head on my ring.
Henderson
for me, but I mean,
yeah, I think so.
I think the Henderson hype train, I said this with John and Nick last week, I think that hype train's left the station. I think if you're on it, you're having the time of your life, but
yeah,
I think you're too late if you didn't get on it.
Saquon
as a contender,
yeah. Oof, I am worried about, we've talked about that millions of times,
yeah,
about Saquon this year.
Could you give me the elevator pitch on that, Rocky? just because I haven't heard what, why are you worried
about mostly him? Just either A, they use him less because he was used so much last year, or because he was used so much last year and they continue to run him into the ground, he gets hurt. That's basically what it is. It's I think A, they're gonna probably pass more than they did last year. I mean, they're not gonna become some like, you know, dynamic passing off, like crazy passing offense, but I think they're going to pass more than they did last year. And I am just, guys coming off that many carries are such a red flag to me. Even though I love Saquon, I think he's awesome. He may, if anyone could buck the trend, I would think it would be him. He's just a special running back, but I just feel like we're destined for something bad. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be an injury. I don't know if it's just going to be much less production than we're expecting. I don't think we're, I mean, we're clearly not getting last year's 2000 yard Saquon, but I don't think he's going to be as good as everyone expects either way. Either it's hurt or he's getting less usage, or maybe he's just getting older. And after a year where he ran so much and played into February, he's just not the same guy. Yeah.
The Eagles are preparing like that's happening too, by the way. They signed like two running backs in the offseason, I think. So signed Dylan and drafted someone else, I think. But all right, I pulled up the rankings. DK or Ken Walker? This one's actually hard for me.
Yeah.
That one's easy for me, DK. Yeah. But I'm not a big Ken Walker guy.
I know.
Yeah, I'll take Ken Walker if I have tons of wide receivers. If I need wide receivers, I'll probably sit on that.
DK or Jalen Waddle?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's tough for me.
I think I'd take Waddle because I think the upside's higher, but I like them both.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was just trying to see.
Let's get a little younger.
It's only a year, which is a little.
Really?
Two. Yeah, 27, 20. Again, I don't know the exact dates, but 27, 26 on this list here. So, yeah.
DK or
What was that?
Jacobs.
That's a good one. I like Josh Jacobs a lot. I would take Josh Jacobs.
That one's tough for me. I like both. If I'm contending, I think the only reason you're doing this is if you're contending. So I think I would take Jacobs. Yeah.
All right, last one. DK or Chase Brown?
Ooh.
That's another hype train that's left the station.
Yeah, exactly. If you can get on Chase Brown for DK, I would take that.
That's tougher for me because I'm not as much on the hype train, but I think Chase Brown.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's the answers. Is there any more?
No, I think that's it. Some more might pop up from the rest of the boys. So
that's fine. All right, back to Dynasty. He said, asking for my TA2 team, what is a fair price for official Broncos RB1 J.K. Dobbins? You shut your mouth. If different, what would you sell him for as a rebuilder, and what would you pay for him as a contender?
I'd rather have J.K. Dobbins than Joe Mixon for that third rounder we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was offered a mid to late second for J.K. Dobbins in a league where I am coming out of a rebuild. I think I'm finally a contender this year, and I haven't been able to pull the trigger on it. So this is funny, this question. Oh, maybe that's why. I think Dynastud is the one that sent it to me. So maybe that's the reason for this question. I didn't even realize that until just now. I think Dynastud
says for his TA2 team. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's been trying to sell him around for a second. I mean, obviously, no one's bit because the offer's still in my inbox. So it's not, you know, it hasn't been voided out. So I can't decide if I want to do it or not. So, I mean, I think that's the best you can
do. I was going to say, do you want to abstain?
I'm saying that I think that's the best you can hope for.
I agree.
A late second for him. And that's kind of where this pick is that I think he was asking. I think it was actually my pick, which I'm hoping is a mid to late second. Yeah. So that's what it is. And I think I might have countered asking for Dobbins in a pick back, but I haven't heard back from him. So, we'll see if that happens. Maybe we'll be talking about it next week.
Yeah. Well,
I think you guys hit it. Like, if you can get a late two, that's great. And then if I'm a contender, what would I pay for him? I would pay a third. So maybe there's no market for a trade. I would pay a third right now, you know.
Yeah, I would easily pay a third.
Yeah, so maybe there's no spot for that. Like, maybe you pay a second and get like a fourth kicked back or something. I don't know. But yeah, I like J.K. Dobbins. But like, if I'm just not in a window for another couple of years, like get whatever you can. Get like the 301 if you can get that.
Yeah, I think my answer is the same as before. If he's the difference, if you need a running back, and according to this show, you don't need anything, so you can always figure it out later. But I'd probably give the contending second if I literally, like, if you could guarantee me he's going to be the RB1, and I don't think you can. So, because I think Harvey is another guy that had a good camp, and I know we don't believe all the good camp, bad camp.
I've read, though, that his pass blocking is, like, horrendous.
So. Yeah, and Peyton doesn't love that stuff. Yeah. So that's kind of the little things that Peyton doesn't like. So I'd probably trade a contending second, but I need some pretty good assurances that he's going to do something with it. So, okay. Do you literally use redraft rankings in your dynasty process? I love this question, by the way. Meaning, are you like, this guy's probably around RB6 this year, so at his age, that makes him dynasty RB4, or are you doing rough approximations? So this is how I started doing dynasty rankings, like, way back. I said, like, okay, you know, Saquon is RB2 in redraft, so therefore, if he's... But there's three guys who are younger than him, so you kick those guys up a little bit, but then drop Saquon. Like, this is literally how I started doing it, and it's kind of still how I do it from time to time, because I still listen to a lot of, like, redraft podcasts, because they're just, you know, good podcasts. But, Will, what do you do with all of this? Do you do this process?
Yeah, I think that's a good, like, ingredient in cooking up your dynasty rankings. I think it's more art than science. Like, I don't think you can just have some formula that says, like, if player is 2 years younger, then reduce rank by X percent, you know? Like, for me, a lot of the times when I'm thinking about dynasty rankings and, like, assets, so much of it depends on, like, team stability. You know what I mean? Like, give me a guy on the Packers, just the team that's kind of always going to be decent. Give me somebody on the Eagles, you know, just like a well-run franchise. You know, I would prefer not to take people on the Browns.
See, it's funny. The Steelers used to be that.
Yeah.
The Steelers used to be in that tier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, I take things like that into account. So to answer the question, do you literally use redraft rankings in your dynasty process? Like, the answer to that is yes, but it's not, like, just the main kind of equation or, like, factor in the formula.
Yeah.
It's no for me. I mean, I don't make dynasty rankings,
right?
But in my head, I don't really even think about, like, I mean, I think, and in the broad, like, he kind of references, I mean, in the broad sense, I do, I think about what points they're going to score this year, but I don't think about, like, this guy's an RB, the RB4 that go in, you know, redraft this year. And that means he's X, Y, Z, you know, it's all just mashed up in my head, like kind of what Will was saying. I think a bunch of different factors, and how many points they're going to score this year is often a big factor for me in doing trades, but not like in that literal sense that he's saying right there.
Yeah. I think it helps with, like, tiebreakers and stuff, but I think using redraft as a base, especially if you're first starting dynasty, is not a terrible strategy. And like Will said, there's no like, you know, if this age subtract this ranking, and like, but there, it is a good baseline, because most likely if you are playing dynasty, that's not like your first year of fantasy football. Probably no one does dynasty first.
That'd be wild.
If you do, you're a psycho, and I need you on the show. Like, I need to know why you did that. But everyone starts with redraft, and I think everyone, like, thinks about redraft. And I, like, the dynasty league I did with my friends way back when, someone took Gronkowski in the third round. I'm not making this up. So, like, it's one of those things where you have to, like, marry age and skill at the same time. And really, I think the most important thing is going in with a general strategy and working and being water with the draft and rankings is, you know, am I a contender? Am I a rebuilder? Rocky and I talk about this all the time. The middle sucks. You don't want to be in the middle. You're the sixth pick every year and you miss the playoffs. It sucks.
It's bad.
So you need to go in with kind of an idea, but I do like, especially if you're a contender, I think it's great for start sit, like redraft stuff. So I think, cause you usually have a pretty stacked team. So, all right, last one. One team I'm not sure about won the ship 2 years ago, died last year due to horrible trades, bad injuries. Is this a contender in a 12-team start 10 super flex with no tight end premium? All right, here we go. His quarterbacks are Burrow, Kyler, and Tua. His running backs are Breece, Etienne, Warren, Rashad, I'm assuming that's White, Jerome Ford, Najee Harris, and Sean Tucker. Wow. CeeDee Lamb, Rashee Rice, T. Higgins, Olave, Keenan Allen, Juwan Jennings, and Rashid Shaheed, who, by the way, that was a name I just completely forgot about. his tight ends are McBride and Pitts.
12 teams start 10. So that's starting 10 super flex. So two quarterbacks, two receivers.
Kyler is your super flex QB is kind of awesome. I would like
that. Oh, yeah. So how many of these, how many flexes do they have?
He says start 10. So, you know, assume you need one of each position and then everything else is flex.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, right. So then that's two flexes.
So your starting lineup is Burrow and Kyler at your super flex quarterbacks. Yep. Breece, Etienne. That's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Lamb, Rashee, and T, and then you get the rest of that to kind of fill in whatever's left. And then you ride as your starting pick. That's contending.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily the top contender in the league, but I think it's a contending team.
Yeah, I actually kind of like – this is going to sound crazy. I actually kind of like the Rashad White-Sean Tucker combo.
Yep.
Like, they can't give Bucky Irving all the work. He's just too small.
Yes, they can.
I take it back. In the world where Bucky Irving isn't playing due to some absurd reason,
yes,
then Sean Tucker and Rashad – like, Sean – all right, if, like, Bucky Irving gets, you know – 70% of the workload, like, I think Sean Tucker and Rashad White can fill in for that and take advantage of, like, what we project to be a pretty good Bucs offense. So, yeah, I think it's a contender, absolutely.
Rashee's going to give you some headaches.
For sure.
A little bit. So, he has a big headache wide receiver core. He and Olave. I mean, that's just pulling.
Literal headaches with Olave.
Literally. And Rashee Rice this year.
Yeah, and T, who doesn't stay healthy. That's a really frustrating wide receiver core. I'll give you that.
A lot of upside, but a lot of headaches, yeah.
Would you package T and Olave to go up? This is like find me a trade, which is like – that's like the third week in a row he's asked for to come back. So let's find him a trade, Rocky. So
it is – I will say I think it's a fragile – like if he loses like two starters for a significant period.
He's got no depth at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jennings being there is helps, but you need Jennings to come back. I didn't even put Jennings in the news this week because there has literally been like three different conflicting reports about it. There was like a newspaper in San Francisco that said he's going on IR because he figured out his contract. And then Schefter said he's coming back for week one. I have no idea what's going on with Juwan Jennings, but I didn't even put him in the news, but that's what's going on with him. In the last like 24 hours, this is going on. So what could you tier up T and Olave to be? I don't want to sell Rashee at this value.
Yeah.
Could you tier up to T and Olave? Could you tier him up to Brian Thomas Jr.? Because I think I like that better.
If I could, I would.
You'd have to find the one guy who still likes Olave.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think you could. People love Brian Thomas Jr.
I'd also trade one of the tight ends. You don't need both of those. Trade whichever one you don't want.
Yeah, but how much are you getting for Pitts?
Yeah, I didn't want to say sell McBride as my first move because that's kind of following the meme a little bit of the tight ends don't matter. But
it is not premium, though. So that's another thing, too. How much are you going to get for him in a non-premium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could trade McBride and, like, get a startable tight end this year and like, you know, stream Pitts and, you know, Pat Freiermuth or whatever. Like,
and then McBride for Jake Ferguson and a first. I think Ferguson's going to have an awesome year. I've been taking him everywhere.
I could see that.
So like maybe McBride. I just have
trouble gauging non-premium value, honestly.
Yeah, like, I know.
Can you get Jake Ferguson in a first and non-premium? I don't know.
Probably for McBride.
McBride.
I would think so, but yeah.
Can you do McBride and T for Chase?
No.
Could you do McBride and Olave? Does Olave do anything for that or no?
He doesn't have enough depth to do that.
Yeah, you're right.
He'd be so top heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the world where this works is like if you wanted to do McBride and T for like who's like a fine wide receiver?
Terry McLaurin.
There you go. No, like in a world where you could get like some startable wide receiver depth and picks and a tight end that you could start, like, I don't hate that. If you want to like get younger, you know what I mean? I think that just puts you more into the middle. Like what we were saying earlier, like don't do that. Like I think to answer the question, this is a contender in a 12 team start 10 super flex, but you might have to shed some picks like as injuries happen during the year.
I will say my last trade up I would try is could you do T and Olave for Nico? Because I think the Texans offense is about to go off.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about McBride and T for Nico, which I don't know if that might be too much for you guys, but I think that was pretty fair because I'm a big Nico guy, and I agree. Yeah. I think that he's going to be great this year. So as long as he can stay mostly healthy. But if I could do T and Olave for Nico, I would do it in a second.
And then your starting wide receiver core is Lamb, Nico, and Rashee Rice.
Come on. Lamb, Rashee Jean.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes, just for fun. All right, let's do Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break the lowest hold, but we don't have any TA1 trades. So TA3, Kenneth Walker for the Colts stack of Anthony Richardson, Josh Downs, and a 27 third. Will, what do you think?
It's a whole bunch of stuff I don't like.
Yeah, I like Ken Walker. Like if Ken Walker stays healthy, then he's back to being like not a blue chip asset, but like a highly sought after asset. Like in a world where he gets all the work and he stays healthy, and you know the Seahawks are competent on offense, he has the talent to be like an RB1 for sure, right? So I don't like splitting that opportunity up for like we like Josh Downs, I guess, as a potential flyer, but that's what he is. He's a flyer. Anthony Richardson is done. 2027 third isn't anything. So like give me Ken Walker in this for sure.
I agree. I think it has to be Walker. I think Anthony Richardson's largely done.
Colts, by the way.
I do, but I think after you don't get the starting job over Daniel Jones, I think he's pretty much he'll start again probably.
I told you his best. I said this last week because you weren't on. I said his best job, he should be Lamar or Jalen Hurts backup for 10 years. He'll make plenty of money.
Yes, there you go. That's what I think his best case scenario probably is at this point. I don't think he's gonna ever be. I never thought he was really gonna be anything, but like lose your job to Daniel Jones, that's just like, you know, bottom of the barrel there. I do like Josh Downs a little bit, but he's got Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones as quarterbacks. And I don't know that the situation is going to get any better in the foreseeable future. Cause I don't think they're going to be like god awful and be drafting a high end quarterback necessarily. I don't think they're gonna be good, but I don't think they're going to be like, you know, 3-14 or something like that. So, and I don't like Kenneth Walker either, though. Not that I hate Kenneth Walker, the talent. I'm not as high on him as someone like Frank is. But I also, this seems to be the theme of the show because I keep ripping different offenses. But I hate Seattle's offense this year. I just said the O-line's not good. Sam Darnold is the
main problem.
Yes. And he's going to, you know, he's turned back into a pumpkin at the end of last year. And I think he's going to stay a pumpkin. So, especially out of that cozy offensive environment he was in last year. So, and then, you know, they basically have JSN and a bunch of guys at wide receiver, because that's basically what Cooper Kupp is at this point, just a guy, I think. So, yeah, so I don't really see, like, even if he's good, I don't think they're going to be good, and it's hard for a running back to do well when the offense is not good. So, and he's not a huge pass catcher even either. So, yeah. Not that he can't do it, but he's not a big pass catching guy. So, I don't like any of this, but if I had to take one, I'd take Kenneth Walker.
It's easily Ken Walker, so I'm going to move on to a different question. Rocky, how much do you think Anthony Richardson would get paid to just do tush push? Hurts never had to do another one again. He would never sacrifice his body. How much do you think the Eagles would pay?
I don't know that he'd be as effective. Like, I think a lot of the reason the tush push works,
because he's strong,
is Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Jalen Hurts is one of the strongest quarterbacks in the league. But
not like Anthony Richardson's.
It's not like he's like a scrawny little guy or something. Yeah. I get that. So I don't know.
Couple million.
I think they at least a couple million. Yeah.
All right. That was just a stupid question.
That was a good question. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Kenneth Walker for me. I've been on Kenneth Walker all season. Or all non-point scoring season. They like him. The scheme fits what he does. Don't break my heart, please. all right, TA4. This is like the funniest trade I've ever seen. Christian McCaffrey for a 2026 first and Parker Washington. If this was Tommy Blair, I'm disappointed. Because he's like the Parker Washington guy.
He's not in this league.
So. Okay. So, Will, what do you think of that?
What do I think of it
first? Yeah.
When I read the show notes when you sent it,
yeah,
I laughed out loud at this trade just because it's so funny. Like, it's everything.
I thought Rocky messed up the name in there for a second.
No, that's what it said.
It's so funny to me. Would I take it? 12 team superflex PPR, 10 in premium, 0.5 return yards, 0.05 return yards. No, give me Christian McCaffrey in this still. Like, I'm worried for sure about McCaffrey. Like, he's highly volatile, you know? Like, would I be surprised if Christian McCaffrey just never played another down in the NFL? Like, no. but, like, you're just not going to get anywhere close to the ceiling that McCaffrey offers with one first-round pick. Like, the odds of that happening are just so small. Yeah. You know, like, maybe you can get a wide receiver 2 for a career, great, but that's not going to make a difference. And McCaffrey is somebody who can win you a championship. So I would keep McCaffrey in this.
I will say too, with the Parker, it could cut down day in TA leagues with Monday. So I don't know if that has something to do with Parker Washington being in the deal. and they just figured instead of cutting him, they throw him in there or something. But I have the context here. This is likely a late-ish first, and it's not the guy's first who made the trade. And I think I would, I'm a little nervous to give up any first for Christian McCaffrey, but I think I would do a late-ish first. I think we're nearing point scoring season. Yeah.
I think the 2026 class is going to be very volatile, and I said this last week, because I think someone traded like a Mecca Buka for a 26 first or something like that. It's like next year's not guaranteed to anybody. Next year's class could suck. Arch could stay. There's already talks of that, and you know the best quarterback could be Lenore Sellers, who's a project at best right now. So I'm getting a little scared of the 26 class because I think 27 is going to be something that everyone just like. We're going to have some real like actual screaming Twitter debates on Arch Manning versus Jeremy 101. But I'm scared of 26 class right now, and I'm sure I'm going to be wrong. But give me McCaffrey. He's the points. He's the guarantees for now. So that's
going to be sell my 26 first, Frank.
No, not yet.
I don't know classes this far out. I look at stuff today after the season. So
I just, and I could be completely wrong, but just there's something about this class that stinks a little bit, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's I don't think Lenora Sellers is as good as everyone else does, but we'll see. But yeah, that's going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Will, for coming on. First time, you guys, you're also welcome back anytime you want to talk.
I appreciate that.
But before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
So can I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
All right. I want you boys' opinion. Sorry, I don't.
Okay, do it.
I'm enjoying this. So I'm on the clock.
All right.
This is fun. These are always fun.
Yeah. I'm on the clock at the 203.
And what I'm is just, assume this is Dynasty Startup. Okay.
No, not Startup.
Oh, Redraft. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Just Dynasty Rookie Draft.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Dynasty Rookie Draft.
12 team?
Yes. 12 team, just like a normal fantasy league. No okay. super flex, no nothing. I'm just going to rattle off some names.
Okay.
No tight end premium either?
Correct. Okay. Yep. And I'm pretty balanced, like pretty balanced on the team. So, mm-hmm. you know, Cam Scadabo, Higgins, Trey Harris, Cam Ward, Bishal Tootin, Jaden Blue, Jack Besh, Mason Taylor, Dylan Sampson, Noel, all those guys.
So 3 months ago, I would have said Harris. But Keenan going back there kind of freaks me out. I would take Higgins over.
Yeah, for me, it's Higgins That's or Harris two. For sure. One of those yeah. two. I still don't mind. I mean, I'm not expecting immediate production from a wide receiver. I'm taking in the early second round anyway. So I think I still lean Harris, but I wouldn't hate it if you took Higgins either. So I don't know if that helped. But
I'm leaning Scadabo.
Oh, there we go. Even better. I just that Giants running game.
It's the Homer pick.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he put up a lot of really good numbers. Like, I think a lot of the metrics are there with Scadabo. But like, yeah, it's the Giants. Like, to like going back to what we talked about during the
remember you undersold Barkley because he was on the Giants.
Right, exactly.
And you want to draft another Giants running back that's not as good.
Cam Scadabo is not going to be Saquon Barkley. No shot.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, going back to it, like to your point, Rock, like the notion of drafting players to good teams, like you're not doing that with Cam Scadabo on the Giants. So you guys just gave me a lot to think about. So I'm going to.
That's also, I mean, unless you think he's going to be great this year, which I don't, it's also probably a regime change you may be looking at in a year
from right. now. Right.
Which means they don't give a shit about Cam Scadabo because they didn't draft him.
Yep. Yep. Does Cam Ward interest you guys at all here? He's the other one, just like holding the quarterback value. Like
it's one QB though, Rock. Careful.
I know, but it's also the 203. Yeah, it's probably still a little high to take quarterback.
I think I'd still take Higgins,
especially if it's not like a you know like a really high level. Like you know, we're not talking like Trevor Lawrence when he came out or Caleb Williams type quarterback prospect. We're talking Cam Ward. I'd probably still wait a little before going quarterback.
My argument for Higgins would be he's probably the wide receiver two on an offense. Everyone thinks it's going to be pretty good. So, well, let's have to see, though.
Super valid. Thanks for the last last word there.
Of course. Before we head out, what's going on at Fantasy Spin this offseason or this season? Season yeah. 6 week, what's going on? Any promotions or anything you want to put out?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody hits me up on Twitter, like, I will do special promotions for them for sure. So, like, we're in 23 states for our cash games. Quick pitch on Fantasy Spin. It's just a new way to play fantasy sports.
It's no thinking. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's like just kind of something you can do without a spreadsheet. Like it's something you can do on the bus ride to work. Like that's kind of what we made it. We made it to be a fun, light game. And we're new. We actually won the award for best new fantasy product from the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, which is awesome. And so like nothing too major, to be honest with you. We're building, we're growing. We're also releasing soon a new arcade mode where you can like play for free and sort of an arcade mode style game. So if people really want to go lightweight and not have to like risk money to enjoy playing fantasy, like that's going to be an option soon. So that's kind of what's new. But yeah, if you guys listen to the show and are interested, just send me a DM, sign up, and I'll hook it up for you guys. So that's kind of what we're doing. And then what I'm personally doing is I'm working with the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, helping putting on the conference this year at, or upcoming winter conference in Las Vegas at Circa, and then the summer conference in 2026. So if you're in the industry, you're interested in kind of putting your roots down a little bit more, it's a trade association for people like that are in the industry, companies that are in the industry. So if you have any questions about that too, hit me up on that. It's a lot of value for us, for me personally. So recommend those two things. Download FantasySpin, get me feedback, tell me about it, and check out the FSGA.
What's the Twitter handle for everyone one more time?
Yeah, at WillTieFF. You can find me on Twitter, at WillTieFF.
Yep. Fantasy Spin's great, and Will has been a great kind of person to bounce stuff off of since I met him at SFB Live in Chicago. So everyone hit him up. He's great. Again, appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate you guys. This was fun. I'm down to come on any time. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Our stuff, patreon.com/reactspod. You can watch while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. I've been bothering everyone with news already, and it's only going to get worse. So everyone get ready. And then the most important thing is Fantasy Cares. They have their end of summer giveaway. I still don't think they've come up with a date for that. I think Russ and Scott have been talking about it for literally 2 months when they're going to do that. And it's literally end of summer, like right now. Eliminators are going. The Pick'em is going. The Survivor is going. The One and Done's going. fantasycares.org/campaigns. It has it all in one place. Everyone should go play. It's fun. It's a good way to kind of stay in the community. And Russ Fisher will be on to help us kick off the season. So as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Talk to everyone next week. Good night.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.